Building on Foundations for Eternal Life. Chapter 4, Wisdom and Faith. Proverbs 16:16, W.E.B. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. Yes, to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. End of verse. Before we discuss wisdom, let's remember some important context. A primary goal in exploring truth, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom is to ultimately live better, to know God better, to love God better, and to love others better. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, W.E.B., If I speak with the languages of men and of angels, but don't have love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but don't have love, it profits me nothing. End of verses. Is there someone near you who needs you to demonstrate Christ's love to them right now? If so, please put this book down and go tend to that. It's okay, this book can wait. Go show someone the love of God working through you. Putting right beliefs into right actions is what wisdom is about. Really, it's okay. This marks the spot. A new section titled Wisdom. Now please continue with me as I define another important word. Please keep in mind that the definitions I make in this book are for the purpose of communicating truths in the context of this book. Other people may use the same words with different meanings for other purposes. I am not claiming that my definition should apply to other contexts. The context in which words are used often affects their intended meaning. We've seen how understanding is a deeper application of truth than just having knowledge. In a similar way, wisdom is a deeper application of truth than understanding is. It is one thing to know various truths. I call that knowledge. It is another thing to have knowledge and know how to use it effectively. I call that understanding. It is still another thing to have knowledge and understanding and to actually put them into practice for right living. I call that wisdom. Consider an example. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees of Jesus' day were considered by many to be experts in their culture's religious system. However, Jesus condemned them, saying, They do not practice what they preach, Matthew 23:3 NIV. Apparently, they had knowledge about what was right and wrong, and apparently had at least some understanding to be able to preach to others, but they didn't put their understanding into practice in their own lives. Jesus called them hypocrites in Matthew 23:13, 15, 23, 25, 27, and 29. So I propose this definition for the word wisdom. Wisdom, having knowledge and understanding and putting them into practice for right living. Our goal should be to have wisdom, to consistently live according to good knowledge and understanding. Just having knowledge and understanding about various truths is not enough. We must put our knowledge and understanding into practice if we are to experience spiritual success, if we are to have wisdom. Now, since I am promoting wisdom, as I have defined it, as an important goal, it is important to see that Scripture also emphasizes the importance of wisdom, as I have defined it. However, Scripture will usually phrase this concept somewhat differently, using phrases like walk in wisdom, walk in understanding, walk in righteousness, keep God's word, obey God's commands, bear good fruit. Please consider for a moment how each of those phrases is related to having knowledge and understanding and putting them into practice for right living, my definition of wisdom. Now let's look at some verses that associate wisdom as used in Scripture, or being wise, with wisdom as I have defined it. My intent here is to show that spiritual wisdom in Scripture, not worldly wisdom, is often associated with putting knowledge and understanding into practice for right living, per my definition of wisdom. Deuteronomy 4, 5-6, ESV. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear of all these statutes, will say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Proverbs 2, 9-11 and 20, ESV. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. Proverbs 8:1-20 and 32-33, W.E.B. Doesn't wisdom cry out? Doesn't understanding raise her voice? I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Don't refuse it. Proverbs 9:1-3 and 6, W.E.B. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out her seven pillars. She cries from the highest places of the city, leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of understanding. Matthew 7:24-27, ESV. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Matthew 24:45-47, W.E.B. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has set over his household, to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord finds doing so when he comes. Most certainly I tell you that he will set him over all that he has. Matthew 25:3-4, W.E.B. Those who were foolish when they took their lamps took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Ephesians 5:15-16, W.E.B. Therefore watch carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Colossians 1:9-10, W.E.B. For this cause we also, since the day we heard this, don't cease praying and making requests for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you may walk worthily of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Colossians 3:16, W.E.B. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 4:5, W.E.B. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. James 3:13, NIV. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. James 3:17, W.E.B. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. End of verse. Here are some verses that emphasize the importance of doing what we understand without directly associating it with wisdom. Matthew 7:21, W.E.B. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. James 1:22, ESV. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. End of verse. And here's a passage that I find sums up the importance of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Philippians 1:9-11, ESV. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. End of verses. In those verses, I hear Paul praying that people's love would abound with the things we have been discussing. Bullet point, with knowledge, roughly correlates with having knowledge as I have defined it. Bullet point, all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent, roughly correlates with having understanding per my definition of that word. Bullet point, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness, roughly correlates with right living, based on applying knowledge and understanding, which correlates with how I have defined wisdom. End of bullet points. And the final part of those verses clarifies the source of these good things that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So we see the importance of actually applying our knowledge and understanding to how we live. It is not enough to know and understand various truths. Wisdom involves putting our knowledge and understanding into practice. A new section titled Faith. Now let's consider how wisdom relates to spiritual truth and faith. Faith appears to me to be similar to wisdom in many respects. Faith involves knowing, understanding, and acting on spiritual truth, similar to how wisdom involves knowing, understanding, and acting on truth in general. Let's briefly consider those three aspects of faith. First, faith involves knowing about spiritual truth, in accord with this verse, Hebrews 11:1 NIV. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. End of verse. From this, we see that faith involves at least some knowledge about present spiritual reality, what we do not see, and about things that will happen in the future, what we hope for. Knowledge related to faith is often learned through other people. Consider what Paul wrote in Romans 10:14-17, W.E.B. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they didn't all listen to the glad news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. End of verses. Hearing the word of God communicates knowledge about salvation to people. Faith in Jesus can happen only with some level of knowledge about Jesus. We see from those verses the important role that knowledge has in building faith. Second, faith involves understanding spiritual truth. This is a rather tricky subject, as understanding associated with spiritual truth may take the form of spiritual conviction rather than reasoned understanding. Per Hebrews 11:1 above, faith involves confidence and assurance, not just intellectual knowledge. Understanding associated with faith involves having confidence and assurance about things that aren't visible and things we hope for in the future. This may be clarified by an example. Consider two people who hear a salvation message about Jesus, per Romans 10:14-17 above. The first person may view their new knowledge merely as doctrines of a religion and have little conviction as to its truth. However, the second person may acquire the same knowledge, but additionally may be convinced of its truth and believes that what was shared is truly the path to life. Only the second person understands the message in the sense I am meaning. Third, faith involves acting on what we know and understand, similar to how wisdom involves having knowledge and understanding and putting them into practice for right living. In our example, the first person will likely not repent and have faith in Jesus, since the first person does not really understand the message. This correlates with what Jesus said regarding the parable of the sower and the seed, Matthew 13:19, ESV. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. End of verse. However, the second person in our example does understand the message and has opportunity to act on it and be saved. This also correlates with what Jesus said regarding the parable of the sower and the seed, Matthew 13:23, ESV. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. End of verse. The fruit is the result of acting on the word that was heard and understood. James also addresses the importance of faith being associated with action. James 20:20-23, NIV. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. End of verses. Consider also how the people of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 are characterized by their actions that resulted from their faith. For example, Hebrews 11:23-25, NIV, by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's verdict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. End of verses. To better understand that faith involves knowing, understanding, and acting on spiritual truth, let's look at some examples of people who were said to have little or no faith, and people who had great faith. First, let's look at what happened with the 12 disciples early in Jesus' ministry. In Mark 4:35-41, NIV, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." End of verses. Here we see that the disciples lacked knowledge about who Jesus is and about his power, since they asked, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They clearly didn't understand that Jesus is Lord of all, and didn't understand that they were safe with Jesus in their boat. This lack of knowledge and understanding led them to act out of fear. Jesus questioned them, "Do you still have no faith?" Now let's look at a person who Jesus said had great faith. Matthew 8:5-13, NIV. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found any one in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. End of verses. I don't think it is reading too much into these verses to understand that the centurion had heard about Jesus and had at least some knowledge about Jesus, especially about the miracles of healing that he was doing. The centurion understood that Jesus could also heal his servant. He acted on that understanding by going to Jesus and asking for help. He also understood that Jesus must have great authority in order to do such miracles, and that Jesus didn't need to come in person to heal his servant. So he acted in faith by saying, "But just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Jesus referred to all of this as great faith. Let's look at another example of great faith. Matthew 15:21-28, NIV. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. End of verses. Again, I don't think it is reading too much into these verses to understand that the woman had heard about Jesus and had at least some knowledge about Jesus, especially about miracles of healing and deliverance from evil spirits. She appears to understand that Jesus is the promised Messiah, since she calls him Son of David. She also understands that Jesus is able to drive the demon out of her daughter. She likely also understands that her non-Jewish background may be a hindrance to getting the healing she seeks. She acts on her understanding by going to Jesus and persistently crying out for help. When Jesus initially is slow to answer and then answers rather harshly, she does not answer back harshly but acknowledges her situation and still persists in asking for help. Jesus calls this great faith, and the woman's daughter is healed. So we see that faith involves knowing, understanding, and acting on spiritual truth. For clarity, let's summarize some important points. Truth is accurate information about how things actually are. Truth exists independent of our knowledge of it and is not affected by whether or not we agree with it. Knowledge involves learning and knowing various truths. Understanding involves having knowledge and knowing how to use knowledge effectively. Wisdom involves having knowledge and understanding and putting them into practice for right living. Faith involves knowing, understanding, and acting on spiritual truth, similar to how wisdom involves knowing, understanding, and acting on truth in general. For further reflection, have you ever not done what you knew you should do? Do you have faith that affects how you live?